Welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. I'm Kalina.
And I'm Saylet.
And we're happy to have you back. We're episode 19.
This is so surreal almost.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
We have been doing this almost for a year.
Yeah. And we've had 6 episodes out now?
Yes, in our current day timeline.
Yeah. So, yeah. I always do that. When after I go and I start editing, I'm like, why am I talking about current events? Because it just doesn't make sense. Because then I go back and listen after I post them, and I'm like, nope, I don't even remember that that happened, because that was 7 months ago.
So much time has passed.
I know. Hey, we are reaching out to these, you guys. To
yes.
Readers. We Hello. Are reaching out to you guys.
Listeners. We need your help.
On something pretty important. And, I mean, your input is going to depend. Like, it's going to... What am I trying to say?
I don't know. I've lost the thread.
We need your guys' help on how to get more listeners. Like, if we could just ask the 7 people that are listening right now.
All 7 of you.
For listening to us.
We think we know all of you personally.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm one of the 7, actually.
There we go.
If you guys could just share it and leave reviews on iTunes.
Apparently, reviews on iTunes are like... the holy grail of podcasting. Mm-hmm. It is the only way that your podcast actually grows is if people rate and review it. I guess they don't even have to be good reviews, but I'd ask that if you like it to leave a good review, and if you hate us, just keep it to yourself.
But even if you guys don't like it or don't like if you like the idea of what we're doing, but there's something that we're not doing to your liking quite, or you want us to add something new or just change, you know, just any suggestions, we'll take it. Just, you know, send us a quick email and we'll take those, you know, we'll take heed to that because we want to get better. Because right now we feel like this is working and it is, but it obviously isn't pulling in as much listeners as we would like. So
at least as of this
moment.
When we're recording, when we're recording our 19th episode and have just released our 6th episode,
right.
We only have a few listeners.
Right. Which we appreciate. And you know what? We even said this from the very beginning, that even if we had none listeners,
that's true.
We would continue to do this because we are having fun and we're continually
As long as we have fun, it's worth doing for us. So that's true. But it would be nice. I think we have something here. I think it would... speak to a lot of people if we could find out how to reach them. So that's just all we're asking for.
Yeah.
Like, share it, spread the word. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we're fighting against the same reason that we read these books and never talked about them even with each other for so many years, because women don't acknowledge that they that they read these books.
Mm-hmm.
And so... obviously, then maybe they aren't going to tell their friends, like, hey, you should listen to this podcast about romance novels, when they don't talk about how they read romance novels.
Right.
So maybe we're in the same boat there.
Yeah, that, and I have heard from a few people that have listened, saying, I really like what you guys are talking about. It feels like I'm in the room with you guys. We're having this conversation, and it's really great. But it is sort of hard for me to follow because I haven't read the book. So at the same time... they haven't read the book, so it's hard for them to follow the storyline. But I think we have been doing a pretty good job about saying what the book is about, our sexy ratings at the end when we remember to do them.
Yeah.
You know, and try to encourage people to read the books even with us or after.
Yeah.
After we've done the episode, so.
Yeah, maybe they'll read them afterwards, or we always try to give everyone a notice in advance of what books are coming so that people can read along with us if they're, like interested. I think that that would... maybe get the most out of the podcast.
We give 2 weeks. So I think
2 whole weeks. Even more, because we have the list on our website. Our website has the list of the next 5 books.
That's true. Yes.
So you can even, like, get ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait until the end of the episode where you hear what book we're doing next.
Yeah.
You can go look at our website and see the next 5 books we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, we try.
We're trying.
Well, and you know, this is just a shameless plug for us to say, hey, help us out. Help a sister out, ladies.
Pretty much, yeah. But
if you like the book, share it.
Yeah, for sure.
Or the podcast.
Yeah. And we love you guys. We appreciate your support. And we're happy that you are still along for this journey.
Yes. we are. Yes. I didn't mean to stare at you.
You normally do that.
That's sorry.
It wouldn't be a... episode if you didn't.
It's true. So, this is a podcast for people who love paranormal romance novels, where we read and discuss them and kind of go about, you know, incorporating current event topics, politics, social, you know, ideas, and like our own personal lives into the, you know, the stories of these paranormal romances.
Also, that's what we do.
That is what we do.
That also is not, like, that's a normal thing for us. If we don't miss it, then something
I feel like there's probably episodes where we haven't even said that.
Oh, I can guarantee you that.
So, tonight we are going to talk about two books. This week we read the first two installments in the Welcome to Hell series by Eva Longley, and they were A Demon and His Witch and A Demon and His Psycho.
Woohoo, for two Klitz notes!
Two Klitz notes! Thank you for reminding me what we call this segment.
Klitz notes.
So this is the Klitz notes segment. Both of these books were narrated by Mindy Kennedy. So we did the audiobooks again, of course. It's really, we should only call out when we don't do audiobooks at this point. Because almost all of them are audiobooks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so quickly, A Demon and His Witch is about Isabelle and Remy. So both of them are denizens of hell. And Isabelle is a witch who was burned in the, you know, dark ages at some point by her village. They discovered that she was a witch, even though they always knew she was a witch, and she was burned. She was burned at the stake by her lover's mother, who did not think she was good enough for him, so she killed her, which is real cool. Cool themes. And he didn't stand up for her, so he let it happen. So she's kind of heartbroken. She spent 500 years nursing this pain and deciding men suck, and she doesn't want anything to do with anyone because they burn you at stakes.
Yeah.
You know, you can't trust them. Mm-hmm. So she got her revenge on all of the people who were responsible for her burning, though. But now, right at the end of her contract with Satan, she's about to be free from being his personal, like, I don't know, secretary or something.
She's pretty
assistant.
Yeah. She's like the corporate assistant.
Yeah, in charge of something or whatever. She's about ready to be free, but all of a sudden, all the souls that she had damned to hell escape. And with that, her contract reverts and she's in danger of burning every day at the, like, simulated burning every day until she catches the souls and brings them back. So, Lucifer teams her up with Remy, who is a tracker half-demon, and they go about, trying to bring the souls in. And in doing so, they fall in love.
What?
No! Not in one of our books!
Not one of these!
So, they have very... That's not a word. They have a very antagonistic relationship for most of the books.
Yes.
He's flirty, sexy, wants to bed anything that walks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all like, I hate men. And then by the end of it, you know, she doesn't hate men anymore. And he is a one-woman man from there on out. So that's the story of Isabelle and Remy. And at the end of this book, we discover, this is a big spoiler, so definitely stop listening if you haven't read it and you don't want the big spoiler. Big spoiler, this is all Satan's doing.
What?
Ooh, he's playing matchmaker.
What?
He's trying to mate up his best warriors with really cool badass witches or shapeshifters or somebody with like magical powers of some sort, because he needs to replenish his forces. He's been in a battle with Lilith. So his forces are depleted and he needs more warriors for hell, and so he's gonna do it by mating up all his demons. So he's playing matchmaker and he's running around making people work together until they fall in love, which is hilarious.
It's fucking it's the best.
So his first attempt was a success, so on for his next trial, and that will be the story of Katie and Zafan. Katie and Zafan.
A Demon and His Psycho.
A Demon and a Psycho. So she's a nut job from, you know, not sure. She seems to be human who was a serial murderer and then made a deal with Satan right before she was put on death row and killed. And now she's down in hell, but she's not a lost soul like everyone else who does deals with the demon or deals with Satan. She gets to be herself, but she's just like a murderer.
She's a psycho.
So
psycho.
She runs around killing things, and Zafan is a demon. He's also half demon? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he thought he was human for his whole life. He was a knight.
That's right.
And then he found out that he was half demon and went down to hell to be a warrior for Lucifer. And he, so on a reversal of the previous book, he has given his word to his lady of 300 years ago when he was a human knight that he will love her and only her for all of eternity. And so he has spent 300 years celibate in honor of his vow. And Katie hates men because, again, men are evil and you have to kill them after you sleep with them because they're bad. So it's a kind of a role reversal, but also kind of not. And anyway, they have to track down a dragon that maybe was stolen, a pink dragon that was Lucifer's granddaughter's. Fucking love that shit.
It's so great.
So good. And in doing so, they fall in love.
What?
What?
Again?
No! Not again. Alright, so that's the story of a demon and his witch and a demon and his psycho. Pretty just quick. There's not that much more to
these books. I mean, these audiobooks were like 5 hours each.
5 hours apiece. Like, so that's why we did the two of them, because we thought it was a good opportunity to do back-to-back first, you know, novel, like first and second novels in a series, kind of see how they compare to each other, how the story arc flows through them. And, also, they were very, very short. We didn't feel like we'd have enough to talk about after a 5-hour audiobook.
Probably not. Probably so, not. So throughout this episode, we are going to be talking about them interchangeably.
Yeah, so. Just like in tandem, because there's a lot to point out between them, and it would be hard to talk about just one book in isolation, and then, hell, we don't even do that between books.
No.
So we definitely fucking can't do it in one episode, guys. So just either follow along or, you know... We're sorry. We apologize. It is fine. It'll be fine.
It's totally fine.
They have four names, and we might remember them most of the time.
Sure. It works. I think first and foremost, like you said, we have to address the fact that Lucifer in these books is the fucking man. He is hilarious. He's the matchmaker. He's the only one that thinks straight. He's super powerful and he's funny as hell. And he's just like so lackadaisical with his life. And he's got all these assistants and demons and like warriors that work for him. And he's just I don't know if he's bored or what. He's dating Gaia, the goddess of Earth. Or, right? The
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth. Goddess. Mother Nature. Yeah, whatever. She's
Mother Nature. Mother and, Earth.
And they're, you know, she flits in and out of
they're in hell. An on again, off again, never serious. He won't say the L word. The L word.
Well, he's Satan. Like, Satan. You know, he plays golf with his brother, God.
Yes.
Is it once every 100 years?
Once every 100 years. Their centennial golf tournament across the plains.
Fucking awesome.
And, so he's, through most of the books, he's practicing his golf swing because he's got to get ready for the next big tournament with God.
I love it.
Apparently, he comes home very upset if he loses to God. He doesn't mind losing to the other deities that play in the tournament, but just not to God.
He can't lose.
Not to his brother. No,
way too competitive.
This is a fun world.
Yes.
Yes, it is in hell, but...
Just think of it like
it's Earth. Really just another place.
It's
just
like, another Earth.
And it makes it fun because there's constantly plays on like, oh, when they tell a lie, how happy Satan must be. Like, you know, like, oh, he must really be proud of me now I'm lying. And so just like things that normally are taboo subjects or like, you know, things you're not supposed to do.
Like the reverse.
It's the reverse. So it's a fun world to play around in because you can kind of do all these opposite things. You can throw out a whole bunch of like things that people know, like crossing the river Styx with Charon.
Yeah.
There's the hellhounds and apparently hellcats too. And,
and
just a whole lot of fun things to do. Like there's a lot to play around in a world like this. And it really does make it a fun read. One of the things that's interesting is apparently like less than 1% of people actually go to heaven. So like everyone goes to hell.
Everybody's in the
They're like, if you take God's name in vain even once, you're done. You're going to hell. You got no choice, no chance. Like no one goes to heaven.
Yeah. Small percentage of people like, that are going up there. Yeah, and that's just,
They talk about overcrowding.
Oh, yeah. It's funny.
I was getting crowded, guys.
I imagine, I don't know, have you ever seen Little Monsters? I think that's what it's called. With Fred Savage?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I saw it as a child and loved it and attempted to rewatch it like a couple years ago and was horrified.
Really?
It's terrible. I went, oh, childhood ruined. Do not revisit old childhood movies.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I loved it. But
now whatever you remember in your head, I guarantee is better. It's much better. Don't go back.
Okay.
But yes, yes.
Anyway, that's sort of like the dimension that I'm, you know, picturing, only like people fucked up and having sex all over the place. Well, not really, but
almost. There does seem to be a real heavy emphasis on sex somehow.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
that comes up a lot.
But they have paperwork and jobs and jails and everything still, like they do.
Oh yeah,
on our plane,
Lucifer has rules, and if you break the rules, you gotta pay. Yeah. Like they take a series of rule breakers over to have the hellhounds that are newborn pups learn how to chew on souls.
I know. What the hell? It's just so cool.
There's so many little quirky, like, just things that are just dropped in as like sides that are worth reading these books for.
Yeah, they were good, and the sex was good.
Oh yeah,
the sex was good.
Sex was very detailed and kinky. Kinky, yes. Sex scenes full of very detail, steamy. Super hot.
No, for sure.
I'm sitting out in the living room putting a puzzle together, listening to this book. I'm like, okay. Alright. Alright, no one listened, right? No, I got headphones on. I got headphones on. You can't hear what I'm listening to. As I put together a puzzle of a castle.
Oh, I know, that's funny. I always tell Dan whenever I'm reading, or like whenever we're listening or reading a really good one, I'm like, Dan, this one's good. He's like, yeah, you got the squishes. I'm like, this one's squishy.
Squishy.
This is a good one. Yeah. We're just gonna, how we're gonna dub all of the good books. If we say it's squishy, that means it's
good. That means,
That means
got a it's little good. Hot and bothered while listening to the book. So, Satan's cool. Basically what we take away from this
pretty
book.
Much cool. The coolest guy.
So cool.
I would love to be his buddy, like, just hang out and chill.
Well, and all of these, especially the two girls, especially Isabel and Katie, Isabel's supposed to be working for him, and she, like, fights him at every turn, like, for 500 years, in order to get her deal, which was she got to imprison in hell, in one of the worst rings of hell, all of the people who burned her at the stake, the five souls who were instrumental in her burning. And in order for her to get that, she has to be his assistant for 500 years and do what he says. And still, even with that is like contract in blood, she still like fights him at every turn. She puts like silver blessed spikes on her skirt because he likes to slap asses, and so she does that, and then he like his hands burning cut, and smoking. And so she stands up to him the whole time and like doesn't do what she's supposed to, and he still is like treating her like a daughter. He basically treats her like a daughter, and he's like, oh, okay, let me help you. Mm-hmm. And she comes to him whenever she's upset, and he like sits down and listens to her to complain about shit. And and I'm just like, that's so cool.
Yeah, he's very endearing to the women around him. I mean,
well, and even to the guys, because they're like, you know, Baffin doesn't have any friends.
But he calls him a dumbass all the time and slaps him upside the head.
Well, he is being dumb in a lot of those instances. But yeah, he sounds like a real cool head of hell.
Yep.
That sounded terrible.
It doesn't sound like a bad place, really. Yeah. It just sounds like this place.
Especially since in this world, it's almost impossible not to go there.
Right.
So I guess if you have to go there, at least it's not terrible.
Well, you and I are definitely fucking going
if
there.
If this is the world, then sorry. Already. We're all going to hell. Anyway, another thing that's really evident in these books is that opposites are attract.
Oh, yeah.
Opposites attract, and they are meant to be together because you got...
Yep, opposites.
You know, your witch who is icy and... I'm using finger quotes, guys. Icy. Can't see them. And like a prude matched up with Remy, who is like number one panty dropper in hell.
And isn't afraid to talk his talk. He's just sexually harassing her the whole time.
Oh, it's very upsetting, actually. Like, well, it's not because... It's upsetting because it's heavy innuendo, and then on top of the innuendo, it's also, let me explain to you how that was a sexual comment that I just made. You're like, no, we got it.
We got it. If we're reading these books, we understand what's happening here.
We get the joke. I mean,
you do venture into this book, just pretend like you're reading a sex book for dummies type of thing.
Like a starter romance.
Yes, a starter romance book.
When I said I want to eat your pie, I meant your pussy. No, I got that. We're on board for, we know what you were talking about.
Didn't want to eat my pie that I don't have on me? Like...
Naked. He throws the word naked at the end of almost every sentence, and you're like, no, I get you meant sex. I understand where you were coming from. You weren't being...
Yeah, this is just the hand holder. It's still good, though.
It is. But it is still good. You just gotta
skip over those parts and forget that.
But there's a whole lot training of wheels on this really heavy sex innuendo. And then they also add on other things that are not innuendo, but that are just blunt.
Right.
Where they're like, I meant sex. And you're like, got it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, opposites definitely attract in this one. Isabel and Remy, totally, completely different. But they ended up going, doing what they needed to do about getting those souls,
the souls back to the prisons
and defeating them and everything. And then you've got Katie and Stefan, who I envisioned in my head, Harley Quinn and John Wick. Though Kalina came up with a good, she was just like, well, maybe not John Wick.
No, I felt like he needed to be broader
bigger, broader, yeah.
So more of a Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I was thinking more, I guess, the crazy and the stoic type of character, because John Wick is totally like,
yeah,
he's cool and calm and collected, and that's what
Stefan was. That's true, he's very non-emotional.
Very non, and that's what Stefan was, and so then Harley Quinn was the, I mean, she's the epitome of Katie. Like, she's crazy psycho
Katie
killer.
Is incredibly stereotypical, bubbly, nutjob character.
No.
Like, it's not great. She's not a great character.
No, she's not. But she has, like, the Dixie Chick shorts and, like, pigtail, like, you know.
And a pink halter, like, tied up under, like, a button tied, Daisy Duke. Yeah. Basically, picture Daisy Duke, and that is who walks into the scene the first time he meets her. She's, like, sliding down the banister on one foot, and she giggles all the time. And she's very bubbly and talkative. And he is very, very quiet and very stoic and very just...
Business.
No play, no game. He doesn't smile. He is no fun. And she is all fun. Like, even when she was getting electrocuted, she was like, this is gonna be fun. And she's laughing about it. So, she's disturbed. I think might be a good word for her.
Pretty
disturbed. But yeah, the both couples are completely opposite and generally fight for most of the book until they start to realize that they have feelings for each other. Mm-hmm. Like, real feelings, not just, I'm going to flirt with you because I flirt with everybody feelings.
Right.
But yeah, serious feelings. And then, so what about, like, you and Dan? Do you think you're opposites?
Yes, I would say so. I'm definitely the more cautious type. Mm-hmm. I don't like to take risks or chances. I'm a worrywart. That was even before I became a mother, but even more so afterwards. So I'm very black and white. There's usually no gray area for me. If there's a rule, that is the rule, and that's what needs to be followed, and that's how it goes. Dan is a rule breaker. He likes to venture off. He likes to be sporadic. Yeah, he's definitely the opposite. I mean, we're both lovers, for sure. We both indefinitely believe in love. I mean, I think it's between the two of us. He's probably the darker soul, I'm the lighter soul. Although, he is more of the optimist and I am more of the pessimist. So, I mean, I guess it really depends.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely opposite. But we get along, and I think we counter each other very well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
15 years in, you would think.
Yeah.
That it works.
I agree, and I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. I tend to date people who are more outgoing than I am, who are going to push me out of my comfort zone, because it would be easy to date someone who was a hermit who wanted to do nothing but hide all day. But that's not healthy. Like, I feel like that would be a dysfunctional relationship. And then also it would probably would end up being clingier than I want. And, like, just not for me. So I do tend to find and be attracted to guys who are like, let's go out. And I'm like, no, don't think we go out.
I don't want to be around people.
Don't you know I hate people? But I end up doing it and enjoying it and having fun. And I need that. I need that in a partner. I need someone who, like, I can't be with someone just like me. Because then, one, we probably would never see each other. Because we'd both be at our own homes alone by ourselves. So Definitely. So I mean, I think that while these are extreme characters in this book, obviously, to tell a story, so they're set as really crazy opposites, that having some kind of opposite is important in a relationship. Because I do think you can balance each other and, like, add strengths where a person is weak and vice versa. So I generally find opposites do attract. Definitely. There's pieces that you need.
Yeah.
That you're lacking, and, like, finding that strength in someone else who can, like, loan you that is very important.
Yeah. I think that even goes as far as, like, couplings. So, like, Dan and I are a couple, and sometimes we find ourselves attracted to a couple that may be opposite to us. Mainly because we're assholes and we like to deal in other people's drama because we don't have our own. We sit back and we watch all of the crazy fireworks that are happening across the street because we can't produce our own drama.
Oh, yeah.
So we
attract
the other type of couple. But at the same time, we have the couple that we're... you know, have a lot in common with, but the other couples that may raise their kids differently or have different political beliefs or religious beliefs and stuff. And, you know, we have a whole different set of people, you know, that we consider close friends or friends that we are attracted to because they are our opposites. So,
yeah, no, that's very true. It's
just
a big
balancing. Otherwise, then it would just be real boring. Yeah,
real boring if it was so just like boring. All the same type of person in a giant group.
I know.
Of sameness.
Just a whole bunch of Stepford Wives, like, all together. No, fuck that noise.
No, I don't like that either. I mean, even friend-wise, we've got differing friends. I mean, people who are like us, and then people who are not like us.
Yeah.
So, I do think that while these books may take it to an extreme to illustrate the point of opposites, but no, I'm down to find someone who pushes my boundaries, like, pushes me to do things, like, just going out.
Yeah.
Really, that's all. Yeah. Just making me go outside.
Just leaving the house.
And I'm like, oh, fine. If you make me, I guess, I'll go outside. See so, people.
Yeah. I mean, okay, towards the end of the cycle book, Safan does take a turn. He does do a 180 and starts to then act a little bit more like Katie. So psycho. Now they're like two psychos together and they become more alike. And that's, I don't think that that was what he was in his before life, or if he's just changed and become something that maybe he feels Katie is more attracted to, which I don't know, because by this time they'd already fucked a few, like, you know, so they'd already
six times
had,
or so.
Yeah. He's already fallen in love with her. She is...
I have a new theory. I know we've already discussed it and I said, yes, he changed. Okay, here's my new thought process on it.
Okay.
He wasn't being his true self for the past 300 years.
Oh, okay.
So he was very naive, and he didn't even know he was a half-demon. He didn't know himself when he met Roxanne and quote-unquote fell in love with her, but was really tricked by her.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole story, guys, about his previous
yeah.
love, who he swore an oath to. Turns out she was a bitch who tricked him and basically used him to kill the man she didn't want her father to marry her to.
Yeah.
And then blamed him for stealing her virginity and killing her, you know, intended, and got him killed, executed. So she wasn't good. But he didn't know any of this. He thought that she was. So he thought that they were in love, and he was a knight of honor. And then he became, well, he was half demon, but then he discovered his half demon side, but he was still like holding on to that idea of himself for so long that he even, like, even in hell, he was the most honorable of hell's soldiers.
Right.
And like, Lucifer didn't love him so much because he was like, man, this guy just, like, he won't do bad things.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll do whatever Lucifer asks.
Right.
He will.
Right. He's what he definitely
He will
best.
Hunt down the, you know, escaped souls and drag them back to hell, or he'll kill them or whatever he asks. But he doesn't do bad things. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, you know, break this vow of his and, like, all this other stuff that demons should be doing. But I feel that maybe none of that was really him.
Okay.
So that was like, he was still trying to put himself into that box and hold on to that.
Yeah.
And once he met Katie, he started to realize
his true colors.
Yeah. Like, okay. This was more fun. Like, especially that first night after he slept with Katie and he came back and he didn't feel bad. Like, right. He thought he'd feel so bad that he had betrayed his vow to Roxanne, but he didn't. And he saw her picture and was like, oh, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Like, because that wasn't real. Like, he had thought was so real for so long wasn't. And he Absolutely. Realized real feelings, this is what's real. You know, like, this, what he was starting to feel for Katie was real. What he had for Roxanne was just, like, puppy love and infatuation.
He was in love with the idea of love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the idea of being a knight and defeating the evil for his lady.
Right.
So I think that maybe. Okay. So let's circle back.
Okay, good. Because I think that's a really good topic too, because it just sucks for anybody to have to change to who they are for someone else.
Yes. And on first reading, it did feel like he did that.
Yeah,
it did feel like he was changing, because, like, by the end of it, he's verbal sparring with her and joking and, like, being as wild and crazy as she is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
It's not what he was like for 90% of this book. But I just thought of that idea, and now I think that that's what's happened.
I like that idea a lot better.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot
but
of
now
sense.
He's really found himself, mm-hmm. and he's found mm-hmm. himself in Katie, and he's comfortable being himself.
Yes.
Because, yeah, he's not beholden to this idea, this notion of what he thought he should be.
Yeah.
So, there we go.
Yes!
Fixed it!
That's awesome. Yeah, because I really like these books, and I didn't want to... I mean, obviously, you're not going to like every aspect of every book
you're going to read
and stuff, but sometimes it's just kind of like, no, we don't want this character to be this certain way, or to say certain things, or...
Oh, exactly. Like, if we bring up my least favorite topic on the planet, virginity. So... obviously, we have two characters who have not had sex for a very long time.
For hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. And in the first book, it's Isabel, and she has not had sex. She's sworn off, and she only ever had sex with Francisco, mm-hmm. her lover, from her time as a witch in the Middle Ages, and he was the one who betrayed her and burned her mm-hmm. alive. Mm-hmm. So, she naturally has a very bad opinion of men.
Yeah.
And the whole time, like, as the book was progressing, and as he was, like, you know, as Remy was flirting with her and trying to break down her walls, and I was just like, don't do it. Don't say anything about it. Don't. Just let it go. Let it go without comment. And, of course, they fucking couldn't. And naturally, he's like, you haven't had sex in, like, 500 years. You're practically a virgin. I love it. And I'm like, no, fuck you. She's not. She has a giant vibrator, and she uses it all the time. Mm-hmm. And she just didn't want intimacy because she's afraid of getting hurt. And that is different.
She gets men.
So, of course, they commented on it and brought it up and made a deal out of it. And yep. I was just like, God damn you, book. I wish you had it, because you were so cool up until this one fucking moment. And then in the next book, you know, she's pretty happy that he hasn't had any sex in like 300 years. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, because obviously she's not a virgin or even remotely like one, but she has killed every single man she's ever slept with.
Yeah.
So they're all dead, and he's very excited by that, because he's like, I have no competition now, they're all dead. And I was like,
come on.
Fucking weird fucking book.
It's unnecessary. They call it this, she said that she's called the Black Widow.
Yeah.
Of the
Because she'll sleep with men, but then she has to kill them to prevent, I don't know, herself from having feelings.
Maybe?
I mean, they hint a lot at basically her having an incredibly abusive and molested childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which sounds fucking terrible.
Which
and it goes, like, of course it explains something. Well, you know, it explains, but it also doesn't, because that's not an excuse for becoming a serial murderer.
Sure, right.
Plenty of molested people do not become serial murderers, so it's a shorthand.
Yeah.
And it really didn't even need to be part of this book. I actually really wish it had been. I wish she could have just been, like, just a crazy person. Like, not crazy either. I don't like that she's, you know, right. I think that's minimizing mental health issues and all kinds of fucking, it's a minefield.
Sure.
And I do not love it. I wish she could have just been an assassin.
Right.
Why do we have to give her any kind of crazy background?
With a little bit of a wicked sense
like,
of
we
humor,
could just like... not discuss that. It's not, these books are 5 hours long. You didn't even need to bring it up. It wouldn't have mattered.
They don't truly need a history.
But all of a sudden, she's got, like, you know, stepdads who are creeping into her room at night and this and that.
Yeah,
and people leaving her, and she's murdering everybody who hurts her. And I'm just like, that's dark.
Way dark.
Let's go so dark, because these books aren't dark.
No.
Yes, they take place in hell, but they're fucking light and,
they
like,
are.
Candy. These are cotton candy fucking books.
If Lucifer is your BFF, then yeah, it's a light fucking book. Like,
and
but that part of it took a turn, for sure.
And I'm just like, oh, uncomfortable. No, mental health is such a issue right now that we need to be really careful about.
It's huge.
And even just calling her psycho is not great.
Right.
That's the title of the book. So,
have evolved since, I mean, it's been 6 years since this book
That's true.
Has been
the
released,
book, and it was probably written a little bit before that.
Right.
I mean, yes, things are getting I think this wouldn't necessarily have flown now.
Sure.
But aside from, well, they do call her crazy throughout the whole book.
They do.
But she revels in her crazy.
She does.
And I think we're supposed to take it not as...
Right, I don't think we're supposed to take it in that literal term, I guess.
Yes. Or... I think it's supposed to be more just, she's just an odd duck who likes to murder things.
That's what it is.
Fucking murder is fun. Like, they try to make... I mean, she is strong and independent and all of these things, but she's also... I don't know. I don't want to talk about that character anymore. Okay. It's too hard.
Well, okay, you've brought up something you don't like about the book. I'll bring up something I don't like about the book. And this is pretty cookie cutter, as, you know, all of the books that we've read, is the fear of all of these characters about falling in love. Their fear of opening themselves up again to somebody so that you can fall, you know, so like they're just, Katie doesn't want to love anybody ever again. And Savan has made a vow to his dead girlfriend or whatever that he would never love again. And Isabel was completely jaded. I understand that, but
500 years
is a lot of fucking
time. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, really the only cool character in here was Remy, because he didn't have a problem. He didn't seem like he wanted to, like, fall in love, but it didn't seem, I mean, was he at ever any point that you remember, like, scared of the idea of falling in love?
No, he just thought he was a little too young for it still. He's like, I'm a little young, I'll still have some wild oats to sow. But again, unfortunately, he seems to have a quote-unquote crazy mother.
Right.
I don't know, rubbed off on him, and now he's doing the crazy thing of falling in love. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's supposed to be kind of a crazy act for them.
Yeah.
Well, I think a piece of it is something we didn't mention is once demons mate, it is for life.
Yeah.
They can't have sex with anyone else without, like, serious dire consequences that were not explained.
Yeah. It's almost, it was just, like,
it's like they physically cannot do it.
It's just, like, they just can't do it. And that was him. He's a Casanova, so, of course, he's like, no, I don't want to just be with one woman for the rest of my life. But, of course, they find their one and true mate, and then they have them for eternity.
And he didn't buck that. Like, as soon as he started having those feelings, he was like, yeah, okay. Yeah,
he was all for it.
So he was the one character who wasn't like, no.
Right.
I don't love.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what makes it sort of, and I don't know if I'm using this word right, but antagonistic. It's like, that is what is, this is a love story, but you have to have the character not want to have it. So you've got that battle, the inner battle of, okay, I don't want to fall in love because of this, this, and that. But of course you're going to end up falling in love. So I don't know. It's, for me personally, it's just kind of hard to not want that love. I don't know why I said it like that.
Well, I think the reason is if there wasn't that, then there's no hang-up.
Exactly. There's no book. That's what I'm saying. Like, they have
because
to
literally this all happens book. In the span of, like, 2 days on each one.
Right.
They fall in love with their mate who they just met 2 days ago.
Right.
So the authors have to come up with some reason why there's any controversy at all.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just like, I love you. I love you. Now it's a 5-minute book.
Right. Well, and I might be an anomaly, because for me in real life, that is what happened to Dan and I, you know, like, I knew instantly that I loved him and that we were gonna get married and stuff. So, for me, that true love was there. I don't know, maybe I'm just, obviously,
I think
my
you
experiences
are. I think...
are, it's just, it's not normal.
Well, I think this, the extreme lengths to which these characters go to avoid it is not normal.
Right.
But I think that the base of fear of being hurt is.
Yes.
I think you're a little bit more unusual in your just go for it, because even if you get hurt, love is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. But I think more people are like these characters,
yes,
where they're
agree.
Like, look, I've been hurt and I don't want to fucking deal with it again.
Yeah, because we haven't come across the book that's just like, love me, love me, love me. You know, everybody is like, nope. Brick wall.
Yeah,
hold
back
on.
Off.
Back off.
I have
still
issues.
Need to
I mean, obviously, like, when we were talking about love on that one episode, I was just like, no.
Yeah.
No. I don't like it. Don't talk to me about love. So I agree more with them than I do with you. I'm just like... Mm.
And I think most people probably would. I don't think that most people... But and I, listening back on that when I was editing, I think I kind of sent the message of saying, just throw your heart out anywhere. Just sleep with whoever and whatever. I wasn't really trying to say be a slut with your heart. I don't know how else to say that. You know, because you still want to be cautious and you still want to protect it and you still want it to be something strong that you hold on to. But I don't think that you should let it stop you from opportunities.
No, I think you're right. And there's actually, this is so silly. It reminds me of a song that Gene sings in Bob's Burgers when he... He's like broke when he and Courtney bring up, and he's like, I don't remember the whole song, but it's something about that when your heart hurts, it's just getting bigger. Like when you get hurt, like when your heart breaks and it's broken, but that's okay because it's just getting bigger.
Aww, that's sweet.
And it was really sweet, especially because he's like 11 years old or something. It's super cute. But that's true. Yep. Like, you know, that's part of it. You have to look at it that way. And it's, not just putting it out there for anyone because not everyone's worthy. Right. But if you do get hurt, if you give it a real shot and you tried and it doesn't work out, that's going to hurt and it's going to suck for a while, but it doesn't destroy your heart. You really should, be able to put it back together and find someone else. So, which is a good sentiment. It's harder to enact in reality.
For sure. You can always tell somebody to get over something.
Get over it!
You know?
That's what I say to Isabel after 500 years. It's like, oh, get over it.
Get over it.
That guy was an asshole. Like, how do you not get over that by now?
Yeah, he burnt you at the stake, dude.
Like, and you have got your punishment. Yeah. He's in hell, burning every day. He's, like, in the bad place of hell, not because some of the places are not very nice.
Yeah, which is, I find really interesting because they're, like, you know, both of these books, they're going out and, like, killing the damn souls. And I'm quoting these killing because they're already dead. So, but then they just, like, they tag them and then they go into, like, a deeper part of hell.
There's something. Two things. So, yeah, they were returning, in the first book, they were returning the lost souls to the jail. They had broken out of the jail and out of hell. And the jail is the worst place you can be in hell because it's extra tortury and bad. So they weren't killing those. They were just returning them there. There is the abyss, which is where souls go after they die in hell. Oh. So things can die. Not everything can. Some things can't be killed, but things that can be killed can go into the abyss and then are reborn.
Oh, missed that part.
But it's not universal for all the souls in hell that they have that option. Okay. Some just, they don't know what happens afterwards. Or some souls can choose to go into the abyss if they've lived longer than they, hell gets boring after thousands of years and you're just like, I'm done of this. And they can go and jump into the abyss and then potentially get reborn. It's a very minor point that was made in the first book.
Okay.
But, so yeah, I think, so every time they killed demons or souls, I thought that's what happened to them.
Okay. I think that sounds about right. I had a hard time following that.
Yeah, it gets hard when you were talking about killing things that have already been dead.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was just
it's not a clear cut.
Also, I had a hard time following it because I really, really focused on the sex in this book. So let's talk about that.
Sex.
The sex in both books.
Yes.
Was real good. So there were toys involved. Well, just for Isabel. But in any of the other books that we talked about, I think they might have mentioned a vibrator or so, or a dildo.
Anya would have, I feel like.
Yeah.
But she's the only one I think would have.
Right. But, and so the other ones have been, like, self-stimulation from their fingers or, you know, and that's about it. But Isabel full-on uses a toy in this book, which I think is awesome because it approaches that subject and they talk about it. She's just like, I've got
a fucking dildo
and I vibrator. Fucking use it. And I don't want to think about you, Remy, while I'm doing it, but I am. And I did.
Of course.
So they also talk about different positions that doesn't really, I mean, like, sometimes you'll get the scene where he's got her on her back and then he pulls her close and then he flips her over or she's on her knees or he's on his knees or whatever. They do have those good descriptions in the books that we have done before.
Yes.
Those are really good. The first time Katie and Safan do it, actually don't even remember the first, because they did it so many times. Did she go down on him first? Or he went down on her first?
Nope. She did, because he admitted, as they were getting to her house, that it had been 300 years since he's had sex. And she's okay, so I need to do you first, so then we can play again real soon. She's like, I need to get you out of the way, because you're going to need, you're going to come quick, and then I need...
Yeah, which he did, and he was embarrassed about.
Yes. Yes. He was, which was weird. But.
It is weird because it's
Yeah, no, he was like, he's shaking his head in shame. Oh, what kind of man comes first before pleasuring his woman?
Before satisfying his woman.
And I just went, oh, everyone?
Every man does it.
All of them? 100%?
It's like, wait,
have you known that?
He never had sex with a man?
Well, it has been 300 years since he's had sex, so maybe he's not familiar.
That's true.
But all of them? That's the answer to that question. And then you're like, oh, that's right. This book's written by a woman. We're in a fantasy world. Women always get to come multiple times in first.
Yeah.
And reality. Then, no.
Right. Oh, yeah. The fantasy world involves that coming multiple times and surviving it. Because after three for me, I'm done. But also, he'll come and then a few minutes later, he's all roused up and ready to go again. These
men's penises also, are amazing.
Not a real thing.
Oh, they are so... They rebound so fast. These penises are ready and raring to go.
But speaking of, I think this can segue into our kiss and tell.
Ooh, sexy.
So, for the kiss and tell for this episode, we are going to talk about our own personal favorite sexual positions. Mm-hmm. So, boys, our fucking faces get red every time we come up with the kiss and tell. I know mine doesn't because I'm a darker complexion, but it does.
I turn fucking beet red.
You be red. You get really red. I do. My ears get really hot. You can't see it, but trust me, I'm like sweating too.
Blush all across my giant red face.
Because you're not just telling me, you're telling seven other people.
Seven other human beings. All right. You go first.
I go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I've got a few different things.
Okay. Yeah, I've got some things to say, too.
So, if I want a quickie without my own toy, then I'll get on top, and I'll take care of myself first, and then he can do whatever he wants with me. It's just easier for me to do, because I can control my own. I know exactly the spots I need to go, and I'm a clitoral stimulation type of person. I've never done the vaginal stuff. I like the vaginal. It feels good. Sure. Just never had the orgasm with just the vag. But if I wanted the vag stimulation, and I wanted it for a little bit longer, and feeling a little bit different, and didn't really care about getting off right away, then my favorite position is doggy style.
Wondering if we were gonna say the same thing. I agree entirely with both sentiments.
Awesome.
Missionary is damn near impossible to hit off. And it's boring as hell.
Oh my god, it is.
I'm always like, alright, how long are we gonna go?
I like to call missionary stationary. Stationary. Because it doesn't do anything.
Doesn't. Oh, and my legs hurt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your legs, you can't just like pain.
Oh, god, my hips can't be open this much longer. Jesus. Anyway, sorry. But yes. Again, I like being on top. It really allows for control and for, like, hitting, like, using the base of his penis, like, that pubic mound area, right there to hit the clitoris.
That's the perfect spot.
It's hard to describe that. Mm-hmm. And to be like, no, move this, this way. I'll just fucking do it. Just
turn over. Let me do it.
Yeah, right. Sit down.
You stay there. Yeah.
But doggy style. It's so deep.
Oh,
I think that's what it is.
I think that is.
Because it's deeper than either or anything else that I'm really familiar with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, it's just, like, just flip me the fuck over.
The angle, and then, I think it also, for them, too, because you're almost tighter,
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I really like doggy style.
I know.
Just flip my ass over and bend me over.
Sometimes when it's just kind of like we both just want, like, if he can't get off right away after I've gone off. Because I think in some cases, sometimes I feel like I would have sex like a male where I would become flaccid if I had a penis. Because sometimes once I'm done, I'm like, okay, we're done. Like, I don't get flaccid, obviously. I don't have a penis. But I'm not, like, as wet anymore. So I don't.
No. You know what I mean? Sex organs,
I'm done.
Well, they get,
So then I'm like, okay, but we have to go the other way now. And you have to hurry up because it's going to start getting dry rub down there. And so, yeah. But I think you're right, though. I think the deeper penetration from that is delightful.
It is. It's also a little less work.
Yeah, for sure.
For us.
That's true.
It's more work for them.
A lot of work. It took me a really, really long time to find my sweet spot. And I probably have to say, I probably didn't find it until I was with Dan.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's different. It's hard. It is hard with, different partners to figure it out. And it takes practice. And
yeah.
Because it is not easy.
Yeah.
But getting it down is, yeah. So that's why, yeah, doggy style is at least less work. Yeah. Just be like, I'm just going to put my head down.
Yeah. And anybody, any guy could do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the standard.
Like, how hard is that?
If you can't do that, then what the fuck are we doing?
So...
I do like fingers too. Like, that's one of, like, if it's the foreplay in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not much for too much. I mean, I have to obviously get wet and stimulated, but I do love the finger penetration. So whenever I read about it or mm-hmm. it's read to us in one of these books, I get excited about it because I'm like, that's just good.
That is good. Well, the other positive to doggy style is it frees up me to take care of my clit myself.
Ah,
that's like nice. Either with my toy, which is really great.
Yes.
Can be there, or with my finger. Like, because it's not trying to put my hand in between two bodies.
Right.
Which is hard.
That's terrible.
I don't enjoy that. Yeah. But doggy style, I can,
yeah.
I have a little bit more freedom to be like, okay, you get that.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yes, it works very well. Awesome. That's why I like doggy style. And I'm just like, I'll just do this.
Pretty awesome. So
yeah, that's the goal, actually.
Actually, that's the point.
If we're all satisfied at the end of this, we've done it right.
That's true. Right. Yeah, because the tie-in to this is actually with Katie and Safan and how they twist and turn and do all sorts of fun stuff. She rides him a lot, and he takes her from behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty hotness. Pretty hot stuff.
It's really good.
It's good sex. You want the good sex, read this book.
It's definitely worth it. And it doesn't take that long to get to it.
No.
Like half the book, maybe. And the half of the book is, you know, 2 hours.
Right.
If it's an audiobook.
Yeah. And you get sex with Lucifer and Gaia.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
So they, you know, they
little, play a lot. Yeah, little mm-hmm. play between them. And so that was kiss and tell. I don't know. What else? Oh, there is another thing we didn't talk about that I did not like in this book.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in both of them, the women do the very, very stereotypical thing that gets thrown at women. That this is something that men are constantly saying women do, where they say one thing and mean another.
Uh-huh.
Both these women actually do that, which was like, oh, so frustrating. Because mm-hmm. they like, you know, Isabel at one point, you know, throws a big fit that Remy's not allowed in. She kicks him out. She doesn't want him to spend the night. She's not going to think about him. And she, you know, throws this big fit and slams the door in his face or something. And then she goes in and lies down and is like, why isn't he coming in here? Why isn't he busting the door down? I told him not to, but why isn't he busting the door down? And I'm like, oh, bitch. No, we don't do that.
No.
We don't actually want the opposite of the thing we just said. That's crazy. And then, like, Katie does that too at some point where she, like, yells
when
it.
She runs away.
And she, like, had told him to, like, leave her alone. And then she's like, why hasn't he found me yet?
It took you 3 days to get here.
You should have found me immediately. I ran away from you and told you never wanted to see you again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, women, no. No.
Oh.
We aren't this fucking crazy.
It's just insane.
People call us crazy
and
say that we do this, and I don't like reading about it because I'm like, no.
And then you write about it because that's what they're expecting or they want to hear or just what
it's
we're
just
related
too easy.
To.
It's an easy thing to be like, oh yeah, right, women are crazy. Let me write that. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's fair. Now, I'm not saying no woman's ever done that because that would be ludicrous and crazy.
Yeah.
I gotta stop using the word crazy because now I feel bad about it. I feel like I'm being derogatory towards an entire mental health issue, but it's not what I mean. But obviously somebody has done this. Obviously women have done this. I have one very distinct memory of there was a night where I went over to my boyfriend's house and I was so hungry. I cross a point in hunger where I just am irrational.
Yeah.
And I can't make decisions. And so ask me when I want to eat is never going to get you anywhere. Because I literally cannot tell you. I can't make a decision. And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but I know that I just wasn't willing to make a decision or choose. And I really honestly expected him to just feed me. Like, just to figure the fuck out, because obviously I needed to eat. And then I went and just laid down in the room, and he, like, continued to play a video game for, like, an hour while I starved to death in his bedroom. And I just laid in there in my own head going, I can't believe he's not feeding me. I obviously need food. Even though I'm pretty sure he offered, like, five things, yes, and I said no to all of them. But still. Now, in my defense, I knew the whole time that my behavior was irrational and nuts. I was like, obviously he's not going to figure out what you want to eat, you bitch. You don't know what the fuck you want to eat. But I really did need him to just get food. And it didn't happen, and I was disappointed. I was like, this didn't work out for me. So, as my anecdote expresses, that this occasionally can be a real thing that people do. Mm-hmm. On the whole, though, I don't think women ever set out, really, to pull this kind of bullshit. Not consistently.
Yeah.
And the fact that both characters did it in both books back to back, I was like, I don't like that.
I think there are a slew of women that like to
play that game. Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
And yeah, but the idea that someone should know your mind is, especially these people had only met for like a day and a half. It's real hard when you just yelled at him to leave you alone and slammed the door in his face for him to then go, I guess I need to break down her door? Right. That's gonna make her happy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they even talk about it in the second book where, sort of, like, where they say, do you know the little things about the people that you love, you know? So, like, that's a little thing is, can you feed me because I'm hungry? Like, yeah, I don't have to tell you what it is that I like. You know what I like, so.
My brother knows this behavior. And if I come home in one of those states, the first thing he does is cut up cheese and put it on a plate. And then I just eat cheese. And then I'm like, I'm better now. And he's like, you just needed food. Because he knows that there's a point at which I become just insufferable.
Yeah.
But I can't fix it for myself somehow. Yeah. I can't fix it. I just, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's my brother, so we've been around each other for our whole lives. Right. But yeah, now as adults, we live together. We share a condo. So he has come to realize that there are moments when you just need to put cheese in front of Kalina and she will be fine.
I will know that.
So I'm looking for that in a partner that someday they know me so well, they just shove cheese in my face. That it become irrational.
I know.
That previous man who I was talking about is no longer in my life. So that, as we know, that didn't work out. He didn't feed me when I fucking needed to be fed.
All you needed was cheese.
Yeah.
I know what to get. A block of cheese.
Just, that's all it takes.
Here, trust me. Carry this around everywhere you go.
It's literally like those Snicker commercials.
Yes!
Where they're like,
you're not yourself when you're hungry. You're not yourself.
I just needed someone to stick food in my face.
Oh, that's so funny.
Then
so,
I become infinitely better.
Point is, we can't, our minds cannot be read. So don't act like a crazy
person. Act like it. Yes. Do not say one thing and then sit there stewing, expecting the 100% opposite.
Right.
Because that's just crossing a line into nobody can do that. That's just leading to fights.
It is. It really
Why didn't you do the thing I told you not to do? Aw, bitch, I do not know what to do.
It's because I said it didn't mean I meant
Obviously,
it.
Obviously, you should have known that I meant for this to happen. Oh, it's kind of like, oh my god, now I'm realizing I might be one of these women. Holy shit, we're having a breakthrough.
Uh-oh. It's okay, talk to me. I've got your back.
For my 16th birthday, I refused to make a plan or acknowledge what I wanted because in my head, everyone had surprise parties for their 16th birthday.
Oh!
But I never told my mother I wanted a surprise. Oh my god, I am a terrible, horrible person. I just realized I'm exactly the person in these books who I was just complaining about. You guys. I need therapy.
I think I remember that story.
So, I didn't tell her that I wanted a surprise party or expected one. I just refused to make a plan. So then my 16th birthday came, and I kept expecting someone to show up. Or for me to go somewhere and have a surprise. And then at like 8 o'clock at night, I just started crying.
Oh, no.
And my mom was like, what is happening? And I'm like, I just thought I'd have a surprise party. And she's like, you didn't even tell me. I'm like, then it wouldn't be a surprise. And she was so upset because I was heartbroken that my mom did not know I needed a surprise. I mean, again, also, just for context, my birthday is 2 days after Christmas, so it's a real bad time. yeah. to have any real expectations of right. anything. Because it's a terrible, terrible time. It's Christmas and New Year's and no one is available. But, all right, guys. Newsflash. I'm horrible. Oh, and I expect people to read my mind and I get real upset when they don't.
I don't think you are like that anymore if you were like that. So,
all right. This is just a very revelatory episode for me.
You're having.
I also, through these podcasts, have come to realize that I do not remember most of my life, and I like suppress it all.
I love it. I love it because when I'm doing the edits, all of a sudden we're like, "Nope, that never happened." Oh my god. I forgot about that almost every time. Cuz we'll have a kiss and tell and you're like, "Nope, never done that." Oh shit, yes I have.
I know. Yes, I have. This shit where I'm like, god damn it. Mm-hmm. I apparently am working to suppress a lot of shit. Yeah, and now we're dragging it all back up for a podcast, so public consumption of my life.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
You are forgetting bits and pieces of your life. I'm forgetting bits and pieces of the book we just read. So.
That's right. I think it all. But I know works these out. Damn books.
Yes.
I don't know when I've had sex in a car, but I know these books. All right. Yes. It's time for our fun fuck fact.
All right. So our fun fucked fact of the episode is from BuzzFeed, and they are about sex toys.
Ooh.
We've got two here because they're actually kind of cool.
They're real well, insane.
Like literally insane. Okay.
Like, the, yeah.
Okay. So the first one is that vibrators were initially used by doctors to cure hysteria in women, the symptoms of which included anxiety, sleeplessness, irritability, nervousness, erotic fantasies, feelings of heaviness in the lower abdomen, and wetness between the legs.
Which just is arousal, but...
Like, you're right. Like, normal so, lubricant?
So, you'd be like, I'm anxious. Okay, let me vibrate you.
All right.
No.
Can I just have a Xanax or something? Like, what?
I think maybe there's something else going on.
Maybe I just need cheese. Like, I don't... I can't.
This might be a cheese issue. Not that. But also, then, before vibrators existed, doctors would cure hysteria, and this is in quotes hysteria, because that's a bullshit diagnosis anyway, by putting vegetable oils on their hands and massaging women's genitals until climax. So if you went to your doctor with a complaint of like, I'm not sleeping very well, doc. Okay, get up on the table, I'm going to fucking masturbate, you know?
How insane!
Fucking horrible!
It's just like, I have a doctorate degree to sexually molest you. Like,
basically!
It's just like...
Because also, this is in a time when doctors are all men. You know,
right, right.
Women, there were not women doctors. Mm-hmm. This is why women still don't know, like, we still don't know how to cure women's ailments and complaints. Because I think that this time they're talking about is, like, the 20s. I think it probably extended up into the 50s, I bet. I don't
probably.
Know for sure. But women would go to the doctor and be like, I'm kind of feeling down, this and that. And he's like, you sound hysterical. Let me molest you.
Oh, my God.
And they'd lay down and get molested because the doctor said so. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, sounds not good, guys.
No, that sounds pretty terrible.
But we did get vibrators out of the deal. So, there is a plus side.
There is a plus side to that, for sure. Because we cannot complain about the vibrators.
No, I'm happy we have vibrators. I just don't want my doctor utilizing one on
no,
me.
No, fuck no.
Fuck no.
Fuck no.
Fuck no.
That just made me very angry.
I know, like... You got real upset.
I did. You could see my face.
I could see it. Very like, unhappy. So, thank God we don't live then.
Yeah, no kidding. But.
All right. So, dirty pleasure rating. How do you feel about these books?
I liked them. Let's call this one a... Oh, God. I can't come up with anything original.
Yeah, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to come up with cute little, like, tags for our ratings, and I've really gotten bad at it.
I know. Well, it's just what we do is say, fuck you, future
us. Is it a 7?
We have to think about it on the whim when we're talking about it.
Why don't we come up with it early? I'm going to call it a spank me 7.
Ooh, that's a good
There was a lot of spanking, like, and threats of spankings and throwing people over knees for a spanking, and it was hot.
Yeah.
Spank me 7.
I'm going to call this one a psycho 7. Psycho in a good way, not in a mental health way.
Yeah. I know, it's just tiny. Really divorce it from any current trends in the mental health arena and just read it as, like, I don't know, a cutie cutesy word for it's a person who kills people. Oh, guys.
I do not associate it that way. I totally understand what, I mean, especially our current times, but no, I really did put myself into.
I did too while reading it.
Yeah.
It's all, it's like, I had an initial gut reaction. I was like, oh, I don't think this is going to be good. And then I got into it during the book and I was fine with it because it was really just part of the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is hard to talk about without being like, guys, this is borderline offensive.
Sure, and that's it. That's the last thing we want to do is offend anybody. Especially
because she, like, they had to bring up a traumatic history. Right. And then she became a serial murderer and then was executed in our judicial system.
Right.
And it's like, oh, none of this is right. That's all, like, we just didn't need that. We should have just been, like, an imp who was, you know, homicidal. That's fine.
Normal. Right.
We'd have been fine. So. So anyway, but still, it still, like, doesn't detract. The books still are really fun.
Sure.
And again, as you're reading it, you just put that aside and go with the world that is being created for you.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's it. We're gonna wrap it up, guys. That is all for episode 19, Demon and His Witch and a Demon and His Psycho. So next time, we are going to go back to an actual book. You guys.
As much as we say we don't do that, we are going to do
that. We are going to read with our own eyeballs. And this is Lyrics, Accidental Mate by L. Boone. And it's the first in the Iron Wolves MC series. Mm-hmm. So we got some wolves again. Now, we haven't done a wolf book in a while because if all of you have listened to us since the beginning, you'll remember our feelings about feral sins.
We were traumatized.
And it was traumatic, and I don't want to read another book about like that because that book was upsetting. Not fucking up. So, while we're saying right now that we're reading Lyrics Accidental Mate, if this book fucking takes a turn, we will quit.
Just so you know.
We will quit. We will give you a heads up. We'll tag something at the end of this episode or whatever and be like, no, never mind. We read something else. That book's terrible.
We're going to read Everybody Poops.
All my friends are dead. But we are hoping to find a book back into the werewolf, wolf shifter world where we won't hate it.
Yes.
That just washes away our experience of feral sins and makes us like sexy wolf shifters.
Yep, because he was a guy, like many of these old doctors, believed that sex healed everything.
Orgasms healed. Solved women's crazy problems. Orgasms. So they'd stop being fucking crazy and bothering me with their women problems. Women, they just got orgasms. I can't deal with them anymore. Which is weird. Anyway. So, as we kind of mentioned at the beginning, if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on Facebook, on Twitter. All of those are Dirty Books, and that's with three H's, S-H-H-H, Dirty Books. Or you can email us at shdirtybooks@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Give us advice, hints, share stories.
And you could do the same at our website at shdirtybooks.com and find all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, all the good places that you would find podcasts.
Yeah, anywhere you can download podcasts, you should be able to find us. And then anywhere you can rate, review. I know iTunes is a big one. I think there might be some on Google Play. Not many of the podcatcher apps.
No.
Do they have ratings? They have, like, you can start episodes, but not so much ratings of podcasts.
Not so much. You can rate on SoundCloud,
too. Yes, SoundCloud, Apple, and Google. If you can rate us, review us, help That'd us get... Great. You know, some
get out there.
Views, people, eyeballs, earballs. Earballs on the podcast.
Earballs
work. Yeah, let's do that. Oh, all right, guys.
All right,
have a good evening. Or whatever.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy music and amazing introductions.